That we're gathered and how we've gone to various churches and how it is God's redemption, the salvation of sinners that draws us together, and God's great eternal plan to save a people for himself in Christ, how that cuts across every distinction, every denominational difference. The true Christian, regardless of how they view something like baptism or spiritual gifts or ecclesial, it all comes down to the fact that we rejoice with the new heart that's been given us when we see God saving sinners. With God and the angels in heaven, we celebrate. And that's what I want us to understand here, that we're celebrating Christ's promise of Matthew 16. He says, I am going to build my church. And that's a sovereign guarantee, because the one who said it died and rose victoriously and ascended to the right hand of God, where he now controls and oversees and rules all things by the word of his might. So if you have a Bible, they cut off our Wi-Fi. We're supposed to have it running through our Apple TV. But if you have a Bible, turn to Gospel of Matthew chapter 13. And while you're turning there, if your parents are cool, the kids can come up actually. I thought they would like to see a little bit of a visual. I figured that a lot of the people coming today would have a good, robust theology of baptism. And so I'm going to be preaching mostly to people who've never been in a church or have not understood what baptism is, and also kids. So if the kids want to make their way, and it'll give the parents a couple of moments so they don't feel so uncomfortable when they're looking for where the Gospel of Matthew is. So come on up if you want, kids. They came up last time. They'll be coming up for the baptism as well. Come on, Daisy. It's all good. Okay, well, I'm going to be lonely up here if no one comes. Good. Good guilting work, parents. Okay, kids, this is where we're going to sort of be watching, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read from God's Bible. Okay, this is the words he has given us to teach us about who he is and what he wants to do for us, how he wants to save us all, that Christ came into the world as a savior. Okay, so I want you to listen to what I read, and then I'm going to try to show you what Jesus was teaching the people who were following him. Does that sound fun? Okay, so everyone listen, and parents with your Bibles. She wants to come too? Your daddy reads the Bible to you too? Good. Good work, Stephen. Oh, here we go. We've got a latecomer. She might be a Baptist. She'll have to stand in the back, and she's late. We're Baptist, so I can say that. This is one of the most well-known parables that Jesus told in Matthew 13. It's also found in Luke 8 and Mark 4. And in Mark 4, Jesus says that if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand all the rest? And so there's a weightiness and a significance that Jesus gives to this. And I'm going to try to explain why this is so significant. The reason why you need to get this before you get all of Jesus' other teachings is because you need a new heart. Okay? Uh-oh. I haven't even pounded the pulpit yet. We need new hearts. We need new eyes. We need ears to understand what Jesus is teaching here. Okay, and so every time we gather on Wednesdays, for those of you who have been to our Wednesday night prayer meetings, I can't remember a time when we've not cried out, well, not literally, but we've pled with God to save all of our children, to save all of the visitors that come, and for them to be saved, like Lazard, like Chris, like the rest of us sinners who are saved. God has to sovereignly give them a new heart. Okay, otherwise the gospel is foolishness. It's weakness. It's stupidity. Okay, so kids, let's listen, okay? I'm going to try to read as clearly as I can. So you guys ready?
Yeah.
Good girl, Abby. Must be a pastor's. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. So there were so many kids and so many adults that Jesus actually went into a boat so everyone could hear him. They didn't have microphones back then, so he went back onto the water so that more people could hear him and his voice would get louder. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. Everyone know what a sower is? It's when you throw seed on the ground. That was what a sower did back then. You know when your dad's going to plant his garden tomorrow? He's going to sow seed, and so he's going to be a sower in a couple of weeks. Yeah, a lot of your parents are seeds. So when your parents are planting gardens, you can hopefully remember this.
The
sprinkles on a donut?
No.
The donut movie. What's... Oh, I was going to say, there'll be some Christian connotations there, Sharon, or else. So this is the story Jesus told all the children and all the people that had gathered to hear him. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground. Some of those seeds and some of those soils we're going to see, okay? Where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. They got sunburned. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let them hear. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he, Jesus, answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive, for this people's heart has grown dull. And with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart. And I turn and repent.'" And Jesus would heal them. "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Okay, now you guys, Jesus is going to explain what it means. Okay, because you're probably wondering what's going on, or you're so enamored with the seeds that you didn't get to hear. But Jesus is going to explain, because he's talking about soil. That doesn't make sense, does it? Why would Jesus be telling a story about soil? Well, Jesus spoke in parables. And what a parable is a fancy story to teach another meaning. That he's using things that people are familiar with, like soil and seed and rocks and thorns and birds. We all know what those are, right? And he's going to use all those things we know, and he's going to teach us about spiritual reality. He's going to teach us about God. He's going to teach us things about salvation. And that's very important, isn't it? Right? So let's listen to see what Jesus says here, okay? You guys are doing very good. You guys listen better than most of the people in the congregation here, okay? Usually they're falling asleep and texting and they're playing video games. See, that's the beauty of having an iPad. You can pretend you're reading, but you can actually be playing Angry Birds. I'm going to keep my eye on David then. "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, okay, and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what is sown along the path." Okay, and so I brought you guys all some things to see what Jesus is talking about. Since you guys are standing in front, the parents are going to have to just trust me that these are accurate, okay? So Jesus says that there was a sower, and he had some seed. Okay, it wasn't roasted sesame seed, but it was grain seed. Okay, and what he does is he scatters it indiscriminately, or he throws it just in his hand. He just throws it wherever. Okay, you know, in nature, when I plant, I'm very cheap, and so I put one seed where I want to plant something. But he throws a whole bunch of seed because that's the fastest way to do it. Okay, and he said that as he was throwing a whole bunch of seed, he would have a little backpack and he would reach into it with a handful of seed and he would throw it. If this was our church, I would do it, but I can't since it's not. Okay, so this is just imagine. So some seeds like this. Okay, this is sort of what's happening. Okay, you're just sowing. Okay, that's what a sower does. He throws seed all over. And the first one, it says, it's a path. It's a hard path where lots of people walk on. And it's hard, just like this slate stone here, isn't it? Yeah. Well, just wait. Okay, yeah, go for it. Is Lazar made it into a heart? That's how biblically accurate we want to be. Because Jesus is talking about hearts here, not soil, but hearts. Now, kids, do you think that you're going to get wheat, or pretend you planted some corn? Do you think corn's going to grow there?
No.
No, because the seed can't even get down into the ground. It stays on the top. And just imagine that a good old crow came in. Crows are my favorite birds.
And birds are my favorite birds.
Birds? Yeah, birds are my favorite birds. Oh, okay, so Kayla, can you be the bird? Okay? I have some in his hair, Kayla and Nathan, so he'll have to get his monthly bath or shower today. Okay, and the birds will come, and they're going to eat it because it's exposed for them, right? It's easy pickings. So if the bird eats all of the seeds, there's no way it's going to turn into nice corn or into peas or into carrots, is it? Okay, and you know what Jesus said? You go... This is just like when we do our devotions at lunchtime. Okay, you guys here? This is really... Nothing's going to grow here. And Jesus is saying this is like a hard heart. That when the good news of Jesus Christ is preached, that a heart will not receive it. Actually, it will repel it. And I was thinking about, for the guys, imagine if you shot an arrow. And if it hit a guy's shield, it would bounce off. And that's exactly what happens when the gospel is preached to people who have hearts that are hard like that. Jesus says that there are some people who think that they're smarter than God. They say that there's no such thing as a God. I don't need a Savior because even if there was a God, I'm a pretty good person. And Jesus says people like that have hard hearts. It's kind of like this. Hey, you're not going to have too many plants grow on that kind of soil. Hey, it's a hard path. And you know what, kids? I wouldn't be surprised that all of the hearts that Jesus describes here in this story are actually represented in this congregation and perhaps in some of you. That when I tell you about Jesus and the forgiveness of sins, that you really don't care about that. Okay? So that's the first soil Jesus says. And he says that nothing happens. The only thing that happens is birds eat that seed. They devour it, literally in the Greek. Okay? They destroy the seed. And that's not good. Okay? And then he says there's a second kind of soil. Should we read about it? Okay? As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately falls away. Luke 8 says that when discomfort comes. Okay, so Jesus says that there's another kind of heart. See, that's in the shape of a heart. And there's soil there, isn't there? Okay, and so if I added some water, a little bit of sunshine, you know what? Something would start to grow. But you know what? It needs to have a really, really deep root system. See, like this beautiful... See how big... Is the root bigger than the plant? Yeah, it is. That's in my front yard. Tons of them. Okay, and so Jesus says that plants may grow up, but you know what? It will die right away when something hot comes, like the sun, or when persecution comes. You know what? There are some people who receive Jesus into their heart at a young age. And you know what? They've never heard who the true Jesus is. You know what? There's some people who think that Jesus exists to make them healthy and happy and rich. And they don't follow Jesus as long as life goes good. But you know what Jesus says? There's some people that when they accept Jesus and then they get persecuted or when trouble comes into their life, they flee from Him. They turn away from Him. When someone says that you can't love Jesus and love sin, they still choose sin over Jesus, even though they accepted Jesus into their heart and got baptized at a young age. So we have to be very careful, right? We can't just pretend. We actually have to say that people love Jesus more than anything else in the world. Otherwise, they have a shallow root. And you know what? People like that fill churches in North America. They love Jesus with their lips, but they love sin in their hearts. Their heart has no deep soil. Their heart is very shallow. Okay, and so we want to pray. Well, that's for the next illustration. This one here is not getting you. That one's going to blow you away, I promise. Should we move on to the third kind of soil? Are your parents getting it too? Good. I come in the back door. I knew that the parents would listen as I'm explaining it to the kids. And kids, if Pastor Ryan doesn't explain it well, ask your parents. They might be a lot better telling stories than me. I'm just one of those dry preachers that reads a lot of books and is not very practical. Okay? So, let's move on to the third soil. Okay? What does this one have locked up? That's a weed. You know what these are? Those are pine needles. Okay? Next time you come over to our house, girls, look to see if there's any grass in our front yard by the trees. The pine needles are so acidic that it hurts in your feet too, yeah. But it doesn't let anything else grow. It's very aggressive. I have Creeping Charlie that's just waiting to prop up this year, and it doesn't let anything grow. Okay, so if I take some of this seed and I drop it in here, some of it might find, but you know what Jesus said? He says that when it grows, it says that these weeds, they're a lot hungrier. And they're not going to let that other plant grow up and bear fruit. Okay? And you know what? Jesus says there's some people who say that they love Jesus. And you know what? They might even come to church. There might even be some people sitting here this morning who say that they love Jesus, but you know what they really love? They love money. And they love their truck or their big screen TV, or they love their job or their hockey teams more. You love the Lord? Well, we can rejoice in that. But you know what? There's lots of people who say that they love Jesus, but you know what? In their hearts, and some of you will know that I'm speaking to you. You can carry your Bible into church and sing along with us. But if I put before you Jesus and a big pile of money, and no one else is around, you will choose the money. Or, if it's time to read your Bible and learn about the beauty of Christ, and there's some pornography on, or some kind of movie on, if no one else is watching, you will choose 10 out of 10 times those other things and not Jesus. And so Jesus says we have to be very careful. This is the most important parable, because our hearts are the most important thing God has given us, aren't they? And you know what the proverb says? It says above all guarding, we need to guard our hearts, because out of our hearts flow the wellsprings of life, which says our hearts determine how we walk. So you know what Jesus is saying? That any of these three hearts, is God pleased with any three of these hearts? What do you think? You think, Addison? She's saying no. Okay? Jesus says that there's a fourth kind of heart. Do you see this fourth kind of heart? There's lots of good soil there. Pretend I've fertilized it. Anyone know what fertilizer is? It's healthy stuff that makes the plant want to grow. It's good food for it. Okay, and so if I add some water and fertilizer and some sun, what's going to happen here in a couple days? It's going to start growing. And you know what Jesus says? Is that some are going, it has to be a tulip. And only some of you are going to get why it has to be a tulip. Okay, can you hold that there, sweetie? Okay? And so here we have four hearts, but only one of them bears fruit. Only one of them has a beautiful flower that is pleasing to God. Okay, and Jesus says that this is the flower that bears fruit, the heart that is good. Okay? And so what I want you guys to understand is that by nature, all of us have these kinds of hearts. That when we're born into this world, that we all have hearts like this. We're not born with hearts like this. That's bad news, isn't it? That's not good news. That we all have hearts like this. And the Bible says that our hearts are deceitfully wicked above all else. And that our hearts don't want to do the good, but our hearts want to do what is evil. And our hearts don't want to love Jesus and treasure Him above all things. But you know what the good news is? The good news is that there is a gardener who loves fruit and a gardener who loves flowers. And just like I have to go out next week and I'm going to be picking weeds and raking pine needles, and just like I'm going to be rototilling my garden, you know what? There's a much better gardener who can do that with our heart. You know what God does? You know what God did with Lazarus' heart? He got rid of this rock. Okay? I'd like to throw it for dramatic effect, but I won't, okay? And He got rid of that rock and He put good soil there. So that when the word was preached, when it was sown, it received it. And this is what we're saying is like what a Christian's heart is like, because the gardener has come and He's removed all of these hindrances. He's got rid of, don't play with that. He's gotten rid of that, right? He's got rid of the weeds. I have a bucket here. He's picked out all the plants. And you know what? The Bible says that this is the kind of soil that receives the word. You know what the seed is? Anyone want to have a guess? We'll let the kids guess. What is the seed? Any guesses? Parents want to help out? Nathan, you're an agronomist. What is the seed that Jesus is talking about? He calls it the word of the kingdom. But what is that? It's God's word, specifically the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? Let me tell you quickly what the seed is, because you know what? There's only two things that are important in this parable. The state of one's heart and the seed. Okay? Those are the only things that are required here for growth. Okay? You've got to have both moving. Okay? So parents, if this is the most important parable Jesus says, it's okay. Are you crying out for grace daily that God would give your kids a new heart? Are you pleading Jeremiah 31, where God promises to give His people a new heart with the law written on it? Hearts that say, your commands are not grievous. Hearts that gladly embrace and swallow up and love the gospel. Okay, so that's the first thing. Cry out for God to sovereignly move and give our kids and our friends and our neighbors and our co-workers new hearts. Our prayer meetings in this church and other churches should be packed. It should be the most important thing a church does. Because we believe that people are born with hearts predisposed to evil. But we also believe in a sovereign gardener who loves to hear the prayers of His people to bring salvation, to bring fruit that redounds to His glory. But let me tell you what the seed is. This is my sneaky way of explaining the gospel. I knew Abby was going to get in the water. Matt, did I not call it? All we need to do is have them start putting soil into it. Okay, girls, we're almost done. This is the seed. Now I'm going to talk to your parents so you guys can play to your heart's content. The gospel is simply this, is that there is a triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, a God who is all love, who created the world to display His glory. He created humans to display His glory. But unfortunately, in Genesis chapter 3, humans rebelled. Don't watch them. Humans rebelled. They sinned against the goodness of God. He gave them good commandments for life and not for death. But they thought they knew better. And you know what? All of us can say that at one time, we thought we knew better than God's good plan for us. We thought He was evil and we were good. And that's these three hearts. The good news says, though, that God didn't leave humans in that state. That He promised to send a Redeemer. We sang about the gospel of grace. That God promised to send a Redeemer who had done no wrong. And that Redeemer is none other than... Lesson learned. Kids, do you want to go back and sit with your parents? Good call, Sharon. Kids, go back and see your parents for a second. And then they can explain to you what I've been trying to when you go home and have lunch. Thank you, though. Uh-oh. You know what? Mom won't kiss it better, hey? Okay, go for it, Allison. Go for it, Tamara. Go for it, Abby. Okay, so back to my story of the seed. We have a good God who creates all things to display His glory. Be fruitful and multiply. Bring everything into subjection for my glory. Man rebelled, and he became sinful. And as you read through the book of Genesis, sin increased. And the hearts just became more and more and more wicked. And yet all throughout what we call redemptive history, God did not let go of His promise to glorify Himself through a people. And so what the good news is that God sent His Son, not just a good man, but God-man, Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, He sent into the world. And as the eternal Son of God, He came into the world to do what? To live a perfect life that we could never live. And to die a substitutionary death that we all deserved. So that when Jesus hung on the cross, why did He hang on the cross? As a good role model, He hung on a cross to bear all of our sins. Every last one of them. And the good news that Jesus is going to begin to elaborate in Matthew's gospel is that Jesus had come into the world to die, but to be raised to newness of life. And that He would give this life to all those who believe the gospel, who believe that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. And that He rose for their justification. That people would turn from their sins and they would turn and embrace Christ. And that's what Lazar and Chris have done. We have interrogated them. We want to make sure that they have turned from their sinfulness and they have turned to receive the good news. This will be good news only to those who have a good heart. And that's why we pray every Sunday that God would give good hearts. Some of you are going to think that I'm standing up here trying to brainwash children and what I've just said is foolishness. And you only prove the scripture that Isaiah quoted, that seeing you do not see and hearing you do not hear, and your heart will not turn and understand lest you would be healed or forgiven. And we as Christians should weep over that. The Bible says that for those who are perishing, this seed, this gospel is foolishness. But to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Okay, so I don't know where everyone's heart is this morning, but I've given the seed. I have scattered the seed that Jesus Christ came into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. Do you see yourself as a lost sinner? Do you see yourself as a condemned criminal who needs to cry out for pardon? If you think you're all right and you're good in your own strength, you're just like some of these soils. If you think that God will let you in just the way you are, you've believed a lie. God will only receive those who receive Jesus Christ. And so I plead with you this morning, believe the gospel. Turn and be healed. Repent of your sins. Trust in Christ. And you know what? You will be saved. I did that. God saved me. Chris cried out. God saved him. John 6, which was read, he will in no wise, in no ways, very emphatic in the Greek, he will never cast out any who come to Jesus Christ. Okay, kids, do you understand that? That if you come to Jesus Christ asking him to forgive your sins, God will receive you. God must receive you because he promised to. But if you leave here rejecting the good news, you will bear no fruit. And judgment will come. And God will say, depart from me. Regardless of if you sat in this church, if you carried your Bible, even if you got baptized. You know your heart. Everyone here knows your heart. You're either for Christ or against Christ. And I can only plead with you that if you're against Christ, you would cry out for a new heart even now. Okay? Later on, what does a new heart do? The new heart changes everything for Jesus. Okay? Read Matthew 13:44. I've gone past the 10 minutes I anticipated, but no one's surprised that I preached a little longer. But please consider what I've done. I've sown the seed. Let me just pray now that God would give new hearts. That would be good soil. And some of you would bear 30 and 60 and 100-fold to the glory of Christ and for the glory of God's renown. I'm going to pray that God would give us hearts that esteem Jesus as our ultimate treasure, that would trade everything else in. The approval of friends, the love of sin, the love of money, the love of comfort. If you see Christ this morning, I guarantee you, you will trade it all in, because that's what a new heart does. Let's pray. Father, thank you for sending us Jesus, who not only taught us simple and clear stories, but who ultimately died on a cross for our sins. Father, I pray that you would work by your Spirit, that you would regenerate, that you would give new hearts even now, that at the hearing of the gospel, you would say, let there be light, and there would be resurrection here this morning. Father, we pray that for those who call themselves Christians and still love to sin and use Jesus like a genie, please confront them here this morning and show them that they will say, Lord, Lord, and yet you will cast them out of your presence because they were workers and lovers of iniquity and lawlessness. For those, Lord, who think they're smarter than you, the way I once did, please humble them the way you humbled me. Please humble them the way you humbled Chris and Lazar. Please show them that you are wisdom and that you have given us Christ to be our wisdom and righteousness and justification and sanctification. Father, be pleased to save all of our children. May the gospel they hear at the table, may the gospel they hear in Sunday school, may the gospel they hear in our communities penetrate their hearts. Father, please save, be pleased to save a great multitude even through what has happened this morning, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need to talk, come and talk to me after. Please, if this is the most important thing, is where your heart is at. Don't worry if your ride leaves you. Don't worry if supper is late. The state of your soul is more important than anything. Kids, talk to your parents. Ask them about this story again and again. And we pray to God that you would be bearing many of those beautiful tulips, giving all the praise and honor and glory to God the Father and Jesus Christ our Son. Testimony time. Okay? So,